Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is June the 17th. It's a Saturday. It's day 168 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're spending a little time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word spend a little time on us. And oh, how we need that. 7 days a week, I need that. 52 weeks a year, I need that. Every day, all year. I need that, no doubt. Well, hey, I am 2 cups of coffee into this day, and I'm ready to hear from God's Word, ready to be encouraged, strengthened, ready to apply the gospel to my life once again. Are you with me? What do you say we jump right in here? 1 Kings chapter 20. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Ben-Hadad attacks Samaria. About that time, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mobilized his army, supported by the chariots and horses of 32 allied kings. They went to besiege Samaria, the capital of Israel, and launched attacks against it. Ben-Hadad sent messengers into the city to relay this message to King Ahab of Israel. This is what Ben-Hadad says: "Your silver and gold are mine, and so are your wives and the best of your children." "All right, my lord the king," Israel's king replied. "All that I have is yours." Soon Ben-Hadad's messengers returned again and said, "This is what Ben-Hadad says: I have already demanded that you give me your silver, gold, wives, and children. But about this time tomorrow, I will send my officials to search your palace and the homes of your officials. They will take away everything they consider valuable." Then Ahab summoned all the elders of the land and said to them, "Look how this man is stirring up trouble. I already agreed with his demand that I give him my wives and children and silver and gold." "Don't give in to any more demands," all the elders and the people advised. So Ahab told the messengers from Ben-Hadad, "Say this to my lord the king: I will give you everything you asked for the first time, but I cannot accept this last demand of yours." So the messengers returned to Ben-Hadad with that response. Then Ben-Hadad sent this message to Ahab: "May the gods strike me and even kill me if there remains enough dust from Samaria to provide even a handful for each of my soldiers." The king of Israel sent back this answer: "A warrior putting on his sword for battle should not boast like a warrior who's already won." Ahab's reply reached Ben-Hadad and the other kings as they were drinking in their tents. "Prepare to attack," Ben-Hadad commanded his officers, so they prepared to attack the city. Then a certain prophet came to see King Ahab of Israel and told him, "This is what the Lord says: Do you see all these army forces? Today I will hand them over to you. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Ahab asked, "How will he do it?" And the prophet replied, "This is what the Lord says: The troops of the provincial commanders will do it." "Should we attack first?" Ahab asked. "Yes," the prophet answered. So Ahab mustered the troops of 232 provincial commanders. Then he called out the rest of the army of Israel, some 7,000 men. About noontime, as Ben-Hadad and the 32 allied kings were still in their tents drinking themselves into a stupor, the troops from the provincial commanders marched out of the city as the first contingent. As they approached, Ben-Hadad's scouts reported to him, "Some troops are coming from Samaria." "Take them alive," Ben-Hadad commanded, "whether they have come for peace or for war." But Ahab's provincial commanders and the entire army had now come out to fight. Each Israelite soldier killed his Aramean opponent, and suddenly the entire Aramean army panicked and fled. The Israelites chased them, but King Ben-Hadad and a few of his charioteers escaped on horses. However, the king of Israel destroyed the other horses and chariots and slaughtered the Arameans. Afterward, the prophet said to King Ahab, "Get ready for another attack. Begin making plans now, for the king of Aram will come back next spring." After their defeat, Ben-Hadad's officers said to him, "The Israelite gods are gods of the hills. That is why they won. But we can beat them easily on the plains. Only this time replace the kings with field commanders. Recruit another army like the one you lost. Give us the same number of horses, chariots, and men, and we'll fight against them on the plains. There's no doubt that we can beat them. So King Ben-Hadad did as they suggested. The following spring, he called up the army and marched out against Israel, this time at Aphek. Israel then mustered its army, set up supply lines, and marched out for battle. But the Israelite army looked like two little flocks of goats in comparison to the vast Aramean forces that filled the countryside. Then the man of God went to the king of Israel and said, "This is what the Lord says. The Arameans have said, 'The Lord is the God of the hills and not the plains.' So I will defeat this vast army for you. Then you will know that I am the Lord." The two armies camped opposite each other for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the battle began. The Israelites killed 100,000 Aramean foot soldiers in one day. The rest fled into the town of Aphek, but the wall fell on them and killed another 27,000. Ben-Hadad fled into the town and hid in a secret room. Ben-Hadad's officer said to him, "Sir, we have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful, so let's humble ourselves by wearing burlap around our waists and putting ropes on our heads and surrendering to the king of Israel. Then perhaps he will let you live." So they put on burlap and ropes, and they went out to the king of Israel and begged. "Your servant Ben-Hadad says, 'Please let me live.'" The king of Israel responded, "Is he still alive? He is my brother." The men took this as a good sign and quickly picked up on his words. "Yes," they said, "your brother Ben-Hadad." "Go and get him," the king of Israel told them. And when Ben-Hadad arrived, Ahab invited him up into his chariot. Ben-Hadad told him, "I will give back the towns my father took from your father, and you may establish places of trade in Damascus, as my father did in Samaria." Then Ahab said, "I will release you under these conditions." So they made a new treaty, and Ben-Hadad was set free. Meanwhile, the Lord instructed one of the group of prophets to say to another man, "Hit me." But the man refused to hit the prophet. Then the prophet told him, "Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, a lion will kill you as soon as you leave me." And when he had gone, a lion did attack and kill him. Then the prophet turned to another man and said, "Hit me." So he struck the prophet and wounded him. The prophet placed a bandage over his eye to disguise himself and then waited beside the road for the king. As the king passed by, the prophet called out to him, "Sir, I was in the thick of the battle and suddenly a man brought me a prisoner. He said, 'Guard this man. If for any reason he gets away, you will either die or pay a fine of 75 pounds of silver.' But while I was busy doing something else, the prisoner disappeared." "Well, it's your own fault," the king replied. "You have brought this judgment on yourself." Then the prophet quickly pulled the bandage from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. The prophet said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Because you have spared the man I said must be destroyed, now you must die in his place, and your people will die instead of his people." So the king of Israel went home to Samaria, angry and sullen. 1 Kings 21. Naboth's Vineyard. Now there was a man named Naboth from Jezreel who owned a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. One day Ahab said to Naboth, "Since your vineyard is so convenient to my palace, I would like to buy it to use as a vegetable garden. I will give you a better vineyard in exchange, or if you prefer, I will pay you for it." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance that was passed down by my ancestors." So Ahab went home angry and sullen because of Naboth's answer. The king went to bed with his face to the wall and refused to eat. "What's the matter?" his wife Jezebel asked him. "What's made you so upset that you're not eating?" "I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard or trade it, but he refused," Ahab told her. "Are you the king of Israel or not?" Jezebel demanded. "Get up and eat something and don't worry about it. I'll get you Naboth's vineyard." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent them to the elders and other leaders of the town where Naboth lived. In her letter, she commanded, "Call the citizens together for a time of fasting and give Naboth a place of honor. and then seat two scoundrels across from him who will accuse him of cursing God and the king, then take him out and stone him to death. So the elders and the other town leaders followed the instructions Jezebel had written in the letters. They called for a fast and put Naboth at a prominent place before the people, saying, "He cursed God and the king." So he was dragged outside the town and stoned to death. The town leaders then sent word to Jezebel, "Naboth has been stoned to death." When Jezebel heard the news, she said to Ahab, "You know the vineyard Naboth wouldn't sell you? Well, you can have it now. He's dead." So Ahab immediately went down to the vineyard of Naboth to claim it. But the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down to meet King Ahab of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He will be at Naboth's vineyard in Jezreel, claiming it for himself. Give him this message. This is what the Lord says. Wasn't it enough that you killed Naboth? Must you rob him too? Because you have done this, dogs will lick your blood at the very place where they licked the blood of Naboth." "So my enemy, you have found me," Ahab exclaimed to Elijah. "Yes," Elijah answered, "I have come because you have sold yourself to what is evil in the Lord's sight. So now the Lord says, I will bring disaster on you and consume you. I will destroy every one of your male descendants, slave and free alike, anywhere in Israel. I'm going to destroy your family as I did the family of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and the family of Baasha, son of Ahijah, for you have made me very angry and have led Israel into sin." And regarding Jezebel, the Lord said, "Dogs will eat Jezebel's body at the plot of land in Jezreel. The members of Ahab's family who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures. No one else so completely sold himself to what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did under the influence of his wife Jezebel. His worst outrage was worshiping idols just as the Amorites had done, the people whom the Lord had driven out from the land ahead of the Israelites. But when Ahab heard this message, he tore his clothing, dressed in burlap, and fasted. He even slept in burlap and went about in deep mourning. Then another message from the Lord came to Elijah. Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has done this, I will not do what I promised during his lifetime. It will happen to his sons. I will destroy his dynasty." 2 Chronicles 17. Jehoshaphat rules in Judah. Then Jehoshaphat, Asa's son, became the next king. He strengthened Judah to stand against any attack from Israel. He stationed troops in all the fortified towns of Judah, and he assigned additional garrisons to the land of Judah and to the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early years and did not worship the images of Baal. He sought his father's God and obeyed his commands instead of following the evil practices of the kingdom of Israel. So the Lord established Jehoshaphat's control over the kingdom of Judah. All the people of Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so he became very wealthy and highly esteemed. He was deeply committed to the ways of the Lord. He removed the pagan shrines and Asherah poles from Judah. In the third year of his reign, Jehoshaphat sent his officials to teach in all the towns of Judah. These officials included Ben-Hael, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, and Micaiah. He sent Levites along with them, including Shemaiah, Nathaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob-Adonijah. He also sent out the priest Elishama and Jehoram. They took copies of the book of the law of the Lord and traveled around through all the towns of Judah, teaching the people. Then the fear of the Lord fell over all the surrounding kingdoms, so that none of them wanted to declare war on Jehoshaphat. Some of the Philistines brought him gifts and silver as tribute, and the Arabs brought 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful and built fortresses and storage cities throughout Judah. He stored numerous supplies in Judah's towns and stationed an army of seasoned troops at Jerusalem. his army was enrolled, according to ancestral clans. From Judah, there were 300,000 troops organized in units of 1,000 under the command of Adnah. Next in command was Johanan, who commanded 280,000 troops. Next was Amasiah, son of Zikri, who volunteered for the Lord's service with 200,000 troops under his command. From Benjamin, there were 200,000 troops equipped with bows and shields. They were under the command of Eliada, a veteran soldier. Next in command was Jehozabad, who commanded 180,000 armed men. These were the troops stationed in Jerusalem to serve the king, besides those Jehoshaphat stationed in the fortified towns throughout Judah. Colossians chapter 3, Living the New Life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lusts, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites. May God add His blessing to the reading of this word. Amen. God has no favorites. I have three daughters, and there have been times in life when people have asked me, "So, who's your favorite?" And I have to chuckle when I hear that, because my mind doesn't even go there. I don't think in terms of one daughter being favored over another, because they're mine, they're all mine. They're all my girls. I love them all dearly. I have no favorites. Well, we're told here that God he has no favorites either, because we're his. We're his children. It doesn't matter whether we're Abigail or Magdalene or Eden. It doesn't matter whether we're Jew or Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave-free. It doesn't matter. Christ is all that matters. He is the favored one. And if we are found in him, then we too are favored, Christian. We too are his. He has no favorites, because we're all favored. We're all loved. We're favored by God through Christ. And now we can put him on like new clothes, confident, at peace, in strength, and offer this world Christ. Offer this world his favor. Offer this world his tender-hearted mercy, his kindness, his humility, his gentleness and patience, his forgiveness and love. And we can do that because we are in him, and he is in you, and you are favored, and you are loved. And the prayer of my heart is that I will live in his love, that I'll put on Christ like putting on new clothes, and that I will experience the favor and the blessing of God and offer that to this world, to those that I love. That's a prayer that I have for my own soul today. That's the prayer that I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son. That's a prayer I have for you. May it be so. DailyRadioBible.com. That's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs. And next time you stop on by, how about saying hi? Leave us a note, will you? Tell us who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. It'll certainly be a blessing to us, no doubt about that. Thinking of that, I want to send a shout out to Debbie Smith. Thanks so much for dropping by, Debbie. Likewise to Renee Rogers, and also to Faris Hawit, Luke and Nolan, all traveling through the Holy Land throughout the month of June, visiting family. And I just pray that your time there in that very special place is special indeed, that you'll experience the presence of Christ in ways that you maybe had never even imagined, and that you'll see him and his word as better than you've ever seen it, ever seen him. Be blessed, Faris, and blessings on all of you, as a matter of fact, whether you are traveling through the Holy Land today or whether you're just traveling into downtown Cincinnati like I might be doing later on. God is with us, and he favors all of us who are in him, in Christ. Hey, before I let everyone go, I just want to ask those designer artist folks out there who are interested perhaps in designing us a t-shirt for the Daily Radio Bible. That would be so appreciated. You can find out information on what it takes and what we're looking for at our website, dailyradiobible.com, and click on the t-shirt link there. We will be using these t-shirts. We already have a couple on sale right now at the Amazon store, the Amazon storehouse or marketplace, whatever you want to call that. But we would like to offer more shirts, and the sales of these shirts go to help sustain this ministry. So if you would like to add your artistic talents to help this ministry survive and thrive, that would be so appreciated. Check out the information at dailyradiobible.com. Hey, the other big request I have of you is that you would share the app. How about this weekend? How about today? We've made it so easy. All you have to do is click on the link there on the app itself that says share the app. And you can pass that on to your friends, family members, coworkers, neighbors. Share this ministry. There are people out there who are hungry for the Word of God. And we want to be able to come alongside folks each day, offering them God's love and encouragement. So share the app. And last of all, if you would like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, partnership is what makes this happen. Us partnering with the Spirit of God and partnering with each other to proclaim Christ daily into the lives of people like you and me, broken people, people who need the gospel applied to their heart each day. If you'd like to help with that, partner with us in that, you can do that very easily by going to dailyradiobible.com and clicking on the partner link. You can also give right from the app itself. Just click on the donate link there. Or if you're old school and you want to mail your gift in, you can mail it to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. But hey, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength, and let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care.